Turn to Psalm 91 this morning. Let me read you a little piece out of an article that Ann Crumpton wrote. This goes back to December of 2017. It was in the Huffington Post. And she says, "I haven't counted for myself, but I've heard it said that the words 'fear not' appear in the Bible 365 times. They teach, they preach, they beseech us not to be afraid." Before 8 a.m. this morning, I was feeling overwhelmed, which is a fancy word for fear. Saying I'm overwhelmed makes me sound busy and sophisticated, when really what I want to do is crawl back into bed, pull the covers over my head, and hide. So this morning I prayed. "Jesus, I'm afraid. Apparently there's a fear not in the Bible for every day of the year, but I need one for every minute, since I'm a big scaredy cat. Could you please teach me about fear so I don't feel so dumpy?" And she goes on, she says, "This is what I heard. Fear is a cause to pause, an invitation to stop and seek my way forward." That's something you could write down. Fear is a pause, a cause to pause and to call on God. She says, "I thought I knew about the circumstances in Scripture when the Lord says, 'Fear not.' These are pivotal times when his people have paused to ask for direction and for courage. They're taking big risks. They're facing their giants. They're going into battle. They're saying unpopular things. They're traveling into uncharted territory. They're being persecuted for their faith. And their fear makes them stop and ask, 'Lord, before we press on, is this really from you?' And the Lord says to them 365 times, 'Yes, it's me.' Or more precisely, 'Fear not, I am with you.' Their fear makes them stop and ask. And God responds, 'Fear not, I am with you.' A cause for a pause, for a prayer, a humbling of our hearts, a seeking of his will." She concludes the article. She said, "Here's to being afraid sometimes. May God use it to make us awesome." Awesome. Have you ever thought of yourself as awesome? I know some of you are just so shy and withdrawn. No, Pastor. God thinks you're awesome. I know it for a fact. Over the past number of days, we have been bombarded with news and notices and nonsense about the coronavirus, COVID-19. Recently, I heard on the radio that down in Toronto, with a group of doctors from different hospitals, they've come and isolated the virus. They know exactly what it is and such. And from there, then they will work towards a vaccine. Somebody else sent me an email and said, "Look at that. One night without NHL hockey and they figured it out." There's two commonly expressed attitudes. You'll encounter these. I ran into these attitudes this week. First, it's all media-driven hysteria. It's unfounded, uneducated fear-mongering. If the media would just back off, this would all go away. It's really not that bad. Have you met anyone with that opinion? Secondly, is the other attitude. "The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Get in the car. Get in the car. We're going to Walmart for toilet paper." Good grief. I still haven't figured out the toilet paper thing. It has nothing to do with this illness or concern. You know what it is? In times when you feel out of control, when you feel everything's slipping away from you and it's beyond what you can manage, you move to what you can control. And somebody started off with toilet tissue. You know, somebody went up to the checkout with four of those great big bundles in a cart, and somebody said, "Oh, that's what we need to do. We need to get toilet tissue." And they ran down, and like lemmings running over the cliff, they're all buying toilet tissue. Let's see if things run low on food at home, how that goes with a little ketchup on the side of it. You know, you can't eat toilet tissue. Well, I suppose you could. It wouldn't do you a lot of good. Neither of these statements or actions are correct. Neither. But when we come to Psalm 91, there's an answer. For all the people who tell you there's no answer in the scriptures, there's an answer. Psalm 91, I'm reading from the NIV this morning. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the cobra. You'll tread the great lion and serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and will show him my salvation. Friends, that's good news. That's good news. When the world is facing uncertainty, it needs a certain God who changes not. The God of our salvation, the God who we say is the one that we have embraced, the one that walks and talks with us. It's what everyone around us needs. Some of them just don't realize it. And it's up to us to share the message. Can I take you to the scripture again? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. All the T's in the New Testament are toward the back. So 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. If you can find any of those five books, Timothy's in there. 2 Timothy's pretty much in the middle. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The New King James Version says, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Rudyard Kipling wrote a poem, it's entitled, If. And in the opening lines it says, if you can keep your head while those around you are losing theirs. Boy, isn't that key? Isn't that the place for God's people? If you can keep your head while those around you are losing theirs, a sound mind. It's what God has promised us. Psalm 91. If you didn't know already, it's the 91st Psalm in the book of Psalms. I know, that's exciting. It's generally known and recognized in English by its first verse in the King James Version. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's great truth in there, don't miss it. Don't miss it. For you to abide in His shadow, you've got to be close. And when you're close to the Lord, He's got your back. He's got your back. All those who live a life of communion. When we say communion in our relationship with God, that's what it is. It's relationship. It's intimacy. It's closeness. Those that live that life of communion with God are constantly under His protection. And may preserve a holy serenity of their mind at all times. Yeah, but Pastor, what about the time my car went off the road and God was with you? Pastor, things weren't always great and things have gone difficult, but God has promised to be with you. Hasn't told you your life will be perfect, but He promises He'll be with you. He'll protect you. And it's the character of the true believer that they dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That close relationship with God. It should not be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock only. It should be every day with Jesus. There needs to be a place for you in quiet devotional time where you read his scripture, where you pray, and where you pause and allow him to speak into your life. Well, Pastor, I haven't got time for that. Take 5 minutes. Give it a chance. And develop that close relationship with your Heavenly Father. We should be at home both in and with God and return to God and relax in him as our rest, our resting place. That ought to be comfortable for us. Psalm 91 is a glowing testimony to the security of those who trust in God. It was probably written by one of the temple personnel. We don't have an exact name to say, well, it was David or it was one of the other psalmists, but probably a priest or a Levite. And written as a word of assurance to godly worshipers. Can we go to the early part, the first verse? Because point one is a shelter. A shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Life Application Bible says, the writer's faith in the Almighty God as protector would carry him through all the dangers and fears of life. Which dangers? Which fears? All. All. Did you know the true meaning of that when you search back through the scriptures, when you look the Greek and the original transcripts? When it says all, it means all. It just means all, folks. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture tells us. He's there to be our shelter in times of danger and fear. That God would keep us not only from evil, but from the very fear of evil. From the very fear of evil. This should be a picture of our trust. Trading all of our fears for faith. You could write that one down too. I ought to make that into a bumper sticker. I'm trading my fear for faith. I don't know if I'm going to put the little fish on it or not. I don't. To do this, we need to abide in him, and that's Psalm 91, verse 1, and entrusting ourselves to his protection and pledging our daily devotion to him, we'll be kept safe. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Those were desperate times. Those were real concerns. Back in the psalmist's time, you will not fear. Having God as a shelter, as a refuge, gives strength and courage to the people of God. To us. When God's people are stuck in fear, it's an indication that they fall short of proper trust in God as their provider and their comforter. There's something missing. And I would hazard a guess we've all been there where something came up in life and struck fear in our hearts. Did you know that 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 says that perfect love casts out all fear? And you got to know that between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, it's perfect love. It's without flaw. It's perfect. Perfect love casts out all fear. Charles Spurgeon was a great preacher, born back in 1834, long time ago. But in some of his writings, here's what it says, not to be afraid is in itself an unspeakable blessing, since for every suffering we endure from real injury, we are tormented by a thousand griefs which arise from fear only. How many have gone through a situation and afterwards said, oh, that wasn't so bad? But beforehand, you were destroyed. As soon as I said that, I pictured a pair of needle-nose pliers with amber grips on them that my mother would dip into a pot of boiling water and say, come over here, that tooth's coming out tonight. Fear. Fear. I was glad she didn't tell me at supper. I wouldn't have been able to eat. But she'd go, wait till the last minute and just, okay, come over here. We're going to take care of that. Why would I even come in the same room with her with those pliers in her hand? Because I loved her. She loved me. I knew that. We had a perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, Mama, open wide. Yes, ma'am. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the 32nd president of the United States. He came to power during the Great Depression, and he guided that country through the world's worst financial crisis it had ever known. After taking the oath of office in 1933, Roosevelt proceeded then to give his 1883-word, 20-minute inaugural address.